For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, welcome to Birdland tonight. Hey, Cody's joining me. I just saw him down there. Let me bring him in here. Cody, how you doing?
Josh, not too bad. Yourself?
I'm glad you showed up. I thought I was going to be doing this tonight by myself. It's been a while since we've done Birdland tonight.
Well, you know, we don't get too many chances with you know, some nice wins to talk about. But this was a rare occasion. I thought I'd join and at least talk a little bit and you see what you thought.
Yeah, and I mean that's you even sent me some private chats that I just didn't pay attention to. I had some other stuff going on in my life I was dealing with during that 5-minute countdown. I wanted to start with just saying Birdland tonight, we haven't done it in like 2 or 3 weeks. We've been really bad at it. So it's gonna Birdland tonight's back and it's gonna be as much as we can do it.
I like that.
We're doing it for free. I'm going to try to do it a bunch, but I know I'm out of town in a couple of weeks, so I know I won't be doing it then. And I don't know about you. I tried to stay up to do it for the Angel games this weekend, and the way those games ended were so demoralizing that I couldn't get on here.
To be fair, most of those games I was watching over a cup of coffee the next morning, but that is not a way that you want to start out your day.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like it's one of those things where like the Orioles – if they play well, they can keep me up late at night and I'll stay up all night. But to blow those games in the ninth, it was like, I'm ready for bed. I got to go. This is done.
Absolutely. So what did you think about tonight? What did you think about our new starting pitcher?
Yeah, about our Watkins.
Spencer Watkins.
5 innings, a 1.50 ERA. Well, is it too early for Cy Young votes, too late for Cy Young votes? I mean, I'm not crowning him that big, but I really like the kid and I like his approach. You know what my favorite thing about Watkins is? We were through 5 innings in like an hour and 10 minutes.
He works fast. You know, he's not we've got a couple guys on the staff who work fast and I too appreciate that.
Yeah. I love that approach. Part of it obviously is if you have success getting people out, the innings go by faster.
And I heard Ben McDonald mention this, that, you know, just his aggressiveness, just going after the strike zone. Yeah. He did start off, I think his first at bat was a walk. But I'm just trying to pull up the stats.
Tonight. Yeah.
Three guys, two strikeouts. So a lot of contact. I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to think through the game. Who really hit him hard? I don't remember too many extremely hard hits or anything that was any dangerous situations where he loaded up the bases or even got that first inning was really kind of it, and he worked his way out of that.
Yeah. No, and like I said, I was very impressed and very happy with him. I hope this is I obviously he deserves another chance to start. He was starting in Norfolk. He looked good out of the pen over the weekend. So he deserves another chance to start. It was cool to see him get his first major league strikeout. I thought he got that against the Angels, but I guess not. So he 89 pitches, 52 of them were strikes. So you got to feel good about that. Now, also saying that the strike zone was extremely wide today.
Much different than some of the other games that we've seen recently, but absolutely a very forgiving strike zone.
Yeah. So outside of him, we got to see Dylan Tate. We got to see Tanner Scott. And this Wells kid is a guy that excites me also.
So let's talk about this. To be fair, I was a bit delayed in watching the game. Share with me, because I saw the notification for Birdland tonight. I was guessing that you might be doing it solo. You might want a second. So I jumped on. I did not watch the ninth inning. I did not watch the top of the ninth. So tell me, I saw Tyler Wells warming up. I was excited to see him come in. Could this guy be a closer down the road? But I look at this at the score and I see that he had a 2-run home run hit by Gurriel Jr.
Yeah, he did. And I totally forgive that. I don't want okay. that in my closer if it's a 2-run game, obviously, if you're going in for the save. But I also think you approach things a little differently at that attempt. And we have to remember and put in perspective that we're playing the Blue Jays. No one hits home runs like the Blue Jays. This was also a home run that outside of Camden Yards would not have been a home run. Left or right 3 feet, and this ball would not have been a home run. This ball hit the very edge of the out-of-town scoreboard. So all the way on the left-hand side where the wall drops to like a normal wall length.
Right.
It went there to the point that with the TV broadcast, it was tough to tell if it was a home run or off the out-of-town scoreboard. So
I'm starting to feel a little bit better about Tyler Wells. Was,
yeah, most stadiums, that would not be a home run. Poor, unfortunate placement of that ball. So I forgive him on that. And Tanner Scott's funny to me because Tanner Scott, when he's got it, he looks so good. And when he doesn't have it, he is so bad. There's no middle ground on Scott.
You know, early in the season when there was so much hype about the Dark Knight, I think in one of my either possibly one of my podcasts, I made the reference that if Matt Harvey's the Dark Knight, then Tanner Scott is the Harvey Dent Two-Face, because you know you really get either a really good relief pitcher or somebody that is just terrible, yeah. and it's just what there's no in between. To be fair though, I feel like we saw a little bit of the in between tonight. It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible,
but it wasn't that that premier, high leverage type guy that we have seen, and we know that he has the stuff and the potential to be.
Right, he got the strikeout. He also gave up a home run. He's we saw both with him.
It was Vlad. I'm gonna the way that Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s hitting the home runs. I'm gonna let that one slide a little bit.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm fairly certain that was to be a home run in any ballpark in America.
Yes, correct. Just like when we get, let's talk about the Orioles offense, because Severino's ball, he crushed that ball as well. That ball just carried. The ball was carrying today.
You know, and for as much slack as Severino gets, especially with his work behind the plate, I'm
not forgiving him.
It's fair. All of that's fair. But, at least he's the one catcher, that has any major league, experience for the Orioles right now that is hitting the ball. We don't see a lot other than the one time we saw Austin Wins hit a magical grand slam. Never saw much from.
You're being too kind. Do you know what home run number it was for him for the year?
Ooh, I don't know that.
I'll give you a clue. 4.
Oh.
His 4th home run for the year. So don't get all excited because he got one.
Fair. And he's only hitting .229. Which is surprising because Severino had some decent numbers in 2019 as well as 2020. To be fair, I blamed him solely for the reason why the Orioles did not make the playoffs, because he did play so poorly in that shortened 60-game season at the very, you know, last 10 games. But I did have higher expectations than what he's been producing now. He's got the power, but it was good to see. I'm going to cheer when he does it, because until we have Adley Rutschman or somebody else, that's our catcher.
Fine. I'll forgive him offensively, because I'm looking up his career stats, because I'm laughing at 4 home runs. Do you know how many home runs he got last year? Now, granted, it was only 60 games.
I'm going to go with maybe close to 9 or 10.
5.
Oh.
In 2019 was the most he's ever gotten in his career. 13.
Yeah.
I don't understand his stats. In 2018, he got 2, and in 2017, 0. 2016, 2.
Remember, Pedro Severino's on a decent contract. I mean, he avoided arbitration. I think he's getting paid like 1.2, 1.5 million. It's not too shabby. Pop?
Yeah, why did I think he could hit the ball?
I'm right there with you. I thought that he, because I think we've seen it. And the thing that I, in the past, have liked about Pedro Severino is I feel like he's one of those guys that you have zero expectations of.
Yes.
And so when he comes through, and oddly enough, I feel like he's come through in clutch situations like today. You know, today we were behind 1-0, and Pedro gets to the plate and hits a home run, and all of a sudden we're leading 2-1.
Right.
That's a spark.
There were two moments today that made me feel good for Pedro Severino. One was his home run. The second moment was did you see the pitch that McGuire tried to catch? The Blue Jays catcher?
Yes.
And he lost his glove on the ball. I said, at least we haven't seen Pedro do that one yet.
Fair. An Orioles game, when there's a runner scored on a wild pitch, you just assume Pedro Severino had something to do with it?
Yeah, I guess that too, yeah. But Matt and I had this conversation on 336 this week about how the catcher position has changed. And we talked about this because of Adley coming up, and how you don't see power from the catching position anymore. The catching position becomes more and more about defense. And pitch framing. And because if your guy has a lot of pop, you start getting concerned about his knees. So you move him out to first base. Because they're already starting to have that conversation about Adley, about, well, maybe he shares catching and plays some first base.
And maybe DHs as often as possible. Right. Yeah.
And like, you know, when we were younger and going through high school and stuff, catcher's where you had the big power. That's where you had Piazza. That's where you had what's his name for the Cardinals. That's where you had power behind the plate.
Right.
So even for the Orioles, you had Chris Hoyles, you had Mickey Tettleton, you had guys there that could hit the ball. And it's not that way anymore.
So I tell you, leaders. When we look at the box score, are you surprised to see that it was, you know, Ramon Urias who had 2 hits? It was Pat Valeca who had 2 hits. Pedro Severino with the 2 RBIs. It was nice to see Anthony Santander come back with a nice 2-run shot. And then Cedric Mullins, of course, with a 2-run all-star. Cedric Mullins.
A deservingly all-star, not a Ty Wigginton situation.
Absolutely.
A guy that totally deserves to be an all-star. And we saw it on Sunday with his pop. We saw it tonight with him get a hold of some balls. So I guess, but it's also, I'm starting to feel, I'm so tired of Pat Valeca. So I'm done with him completely. I don't mind this Liba kid. I'm kind of curious about him because he's shown a little bit of bright spots. And even Urias, I'm like, well, maybe he's the future, like Ryan Flaherty type guy. Guy off the bench, utility guy that shows a little bit of he can hit the ball.
I'm starting to feel a little bit about the same way about Ramon. You know, I felt like, you know, surprisingly, if you looked up his numbers for last year in that shortened season, he only had 20 at bats, but they were good at bats. I want to say he hit over 300. And so here's the year where he actually gets a shot. He's batting .291. Another 2-hit night tonight. He scored a run, and he plays an acceptable shortstop.
Yep.
And he's still very young. I feel like that defensive reflexes is something that comes with age.
Yeah, it's experience. He's also a guy who I don't want him as my everyday shortstop. But as a guy off the bench, I kind of like this guy.
Who do you want as your everyday shortstop?
Gunnar Henderson.
Okay.
At this moment, I think a young guy. I don't think right today there's no one that I want, so it's fine. I guess Jemai Jones would be interesting to see, but probably more at a second base position. I just
everybody's clamoring for Jemai Jones
because we want to know if he's real. Like, because as Oriole fans, you know how it is. Every time
I'll pick anything,
guys, we're wondering, are they part of the future or are they a placeholder? And I think we learned a lot this year with DJ Stewart that he's probably not part of the future. But at the same time, McKenna has been exciting me. That I like him.
I'm right there with you.
A part of the future. His numbers at the plate don't show great, but his speed, his defense, and the bat's starting to come together. And
I agree.
I totally feel like he's a guy who was brought up too early, but that's cool. We brought up Mountcastle too early. I'm fine with bringing guys up, quote unquote, too early, because really what you're saying is you can't learn anything more at AAA. It's time to learn up here.
And look, these guys are at that age. I mean, Mountcastle's 25 years old. I'm not sure exactly how old some of these other guys, Jemai Jones, I think he's 22, maybe, if I looked up.
He was 24. I think he's a little older.
Okay. So again, that's the age where, look, if you probably should have been up, if you were really good, you probably should have been up a year or two ago.
But we started this show with talking about how excited we are about Watkins, a guy who was about out of baseball this season. Very similar to John Means. We're ready to walk away from the game, and now he's starting to make a difference.
Are we in the same immediate love fest with Spencer Watkins that we were with Keegan Aiken and Dean Kramer last year four appearances? We were already penciling them in as a starter next year?
Keegan Aiken hurts, and Dean Kramer hurts. Any of these guys that were like supposed to be like the new cavalry hurts. Because Aiken, like I mentioned, DJ.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Stewart, we learned a lot this year. We learned a lot about Aikens too, and it's not very positive. So I don't know. I really don't know what to take about Aikens and Lothar and these type of guys that came up, did a little bit. Even like a guy like Zimmerman, I don't know what to take from these guys. Did you see the stat this weekend about the Orioles schedule and how we've only had 11 games this season against teams under 500? It's the least amount in all of baseball.
I did see that. Yes.
And we have more wins against teams at 500 or better than anyone in the NL West.
Let's talk about that for a sec. Do you feel that we've been in close in a lot of games? And do you feel that those are games that are just 50-50 games? I mean, we saw two of those games, this last weekend with the Angels.
Yeah.
do you put any of this on Hyde? Do you feel like some of the blame belongs on Hyde?
A tiny bit. There's been very little that I disagree with Hyde. And obviously, most of the time, I can forgive Hyde by saying, look at what he has to work with.
He's got. I think Hyde has said that as well.
I mean, but I look at this, and it's also like this team is supposed to be really bad. And we're in these games. And we're in what you would call a 50-50 game. Like, we had opportunities to win 2 out of 3 in Los Angeles. We were on pace to win and blew them at the end. That's exciting, especially for a team that's not supposed to win this year. It gives me hope for next year to start to turn this around. But at the same time, it's where I struggle looking at this team to see, all right, who's still here next year.
Well, hold on. Before we jump to next year, you know, it is the All-Star break. We're, you know, the somewhat little bit more than a little bit less than halfway point.
Right. Games till All-Star break, 85 games in.
Do you have any hopes, aspirations for the second half of the season? I mean, let's look. How many games do we have for the second half? Can you do the math?
I mean, it'll be after All-Star break. It'll be
my
like
math.
It'll be
72.
Like 70 games.
72 is what my math says. So 72 games. How
yep,
many?
Right.
How many wins do you think?
69. 72 games. I'm gonna say 30. 30 wins.
30 and 42.
Which will put us on pace at. Let's see. What are our numbers right now? We have 28 wins, so that would put us at 58 wins, which sucks. I'd really like to get to that 63. But the truth is, I think we're going to be a 100-loss team.
Now, do you think that we pretty much stay the same as we are now, that maybe even a slight decline for the second half?
No. I know. I think 30 wins is a slight increase.
Yep, you're right.
But just barely. And I think it's because there's some things that are clicking. I had... No. If you bet me in at the end of April that Cedric Mullins was going to be keeping this up in July, I would have said there's no way. I would have put money down that he was cannot keep this pace up. And I mean, he's still over 300. He's 317 coming out of tonight's game. He is still leading the AL in hits at 102. Now, right behind him is Vlad Guerrero at 101. But still, I did not think he could keep this pace up. I love that he's an all-star. It's exciting for him. I take the fact of going in as a reserve. I think that's even more impressive because that selection is picked by other managers and players and stuff. Not
talent,
by popularity
those talent
contests.
Absolutely.
Now, yeah, they had to pick someone from the Orioles, but he clearly deserved it. Here's what I want to see. I want to see for this second half, the future more. I want to see Mullins continue to play. I'm curious, really, and you know, I don't know why I said went up when really they're probably going to be a little downswing because I really feel like someone's getting traded. Elias isn't going to just sit still and let this pass.
I've come to terms with the fact that Trey Mancini will no longer be a Baltimore Oriole after the trade deadline. Have you?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Here's my fear that Cedric Mullins is the guy that gets traded because we have lots of outfielders. You could easily trade Cedric Mullins and say McKenna is going to be your center fielder of the future with Hayes. And you could even trade Mullins and Santander and say, no, we're going to do an outfield of, Hayes, McKenna, and, one of these guys down at the minors.
Use Nail Diaz. That's
yeah,
who
yes,
we
exactly.
thought for a long time.
And that's part of why what I want to see after the All-Star break, and I guess especially rolling into September, is I want to see Diaz come up here. I want to see if he's a major league player. I'm done with Stewart. I've seen enough from him for now. There's little things I still like about Stewart. He's sneaky fast. He's got a good approach at the plate, but he hasn't proven to me that he can be an everyday outfielder.
So I absolutely agree there.
and bring Diaz up. Let's see what Diaz can do, because I am thinking all about the future right now. And I've got major concerns about the fact that all these pitchers that we brought up have not been impressive. That's a big concern about the future.
But you're talking about Zach Lothar. You're talking about
Kramer.
We still haven't seen Michael. Yeah. Michael Bauman. No. We haven't seen yet.
We haven't seen him yet. No,
I think he was hurt. And, oh, so you're not considering Thomas Eshelman a part of our future rotation?
Right. Yeah, he's in that list too. And I know we haven't seen. I mean, come on, Grayson Rodriguez looks outstanding in Bowie. I get that. DL Hall looks great. John Means still looks good. I trust that. But these other guys, it takes five men to fill a rotation.
Here's my thought. I feel like we're at an interesting point, and maybe I'm overblowing the situation, but you know, I think that it's going to be interesting to see what these guys do, especially during the second half, where it's almost a new game where, okay, no more foreign substances, nothing on your hands. We're going to go out there and check. I feel like this is going to drastically change how some of these pitchers throw the ball, and we're going to see a big difference. You know, guys like Garrett Cole, we've started to see. Maybe we might see a little bit different John Means. I think we have seen a little bit of a difference in Paul Fry.
Yeah, maybe. James is making up a good point that all the pitchers we've seen in 2021 have been Duquette guys, and we haven't seen Elias pitchers yet. And that's true, and I get that. But some of Duquette guys are going to have to work out for this team to rebuild and be back in 2023. And I really don't want to wait till 2027. I need this team to be a competitive team next year. Not playoff competitive, but 500 ball competitive.
So I know that Mike Elias hasn't really kind of made any commitments or made many public statements, but do you feel like he is, you know, he's kind of gone out there and he's been a bit of the punching bag of, look, this is going to take some time. Right. We're not set up to win right now. But what is the expectation for, you know, the average, you know, guy in Baltimore of, is it probably not 2022, but is it 2023? Do you think that
I'm sticking with this 2023 is when we make a push for the playoffs.
So if he trades somebody like Cedric Mullins, is that an indication that he believes in 2023, or he's thinking even longer?
No. I think if he trades Mullins, he's thinking later. Would be my guess. But it's also, I don't think he trades Mullins unless he gets an outstanding offer back of guys that might be ready in 2023. And there's also, let's be honest, Mullins showed it this year. So there's also the talk of, did he show enough that you trust him for the next 2 years? Or is this, he's just having a great year, let's trade him while he's hot. And I understand, it's a tough decision to make with Mullins.
Absolutely agree. Who else do you think we're going to say goodbye to here in the next couple weeks?
Mancini's an interesting one because he looks great, and I haven't looked at what teams could use a first baseman.
San Diego Padres.
Yeah, they could.
I'm guessing. They're set for a playoff run.
I hear Mancini is renting, not owning currently his home. So I think that might be part of what's going on. If they do not trade him at the trade deadline, then I assume that means they're going to try to sign him long term. I think Santander, especially if he gets hot over these next couple of weeks, like we're seeing this week where he's starting to hit the ball well, teams always need outfielders. So
we just saw the Angels. I think that Los Angeles Angels, the California Angels,
the Los Angeles Angels,
but they're no longer the Los Angeles
of Anaheim.
No, they're no longer. They've dropped the Anaheim. I think now it's just the Los Angeles.
I don't know.
But they had no outfielders either. Trout was hurt. Somebody else. I thought that, you know, the Orioles might leave with a trade done, and one of our outfielders might be staying behind. But again, the Angels aren't in a position where it looks like they're going to make a playoff run. It looks like the Padres have Hosmer signed to a long-term contract. And Hosmer has not been playing well. So it would be interesting to see if they would be willing to bring in somebody like Trey Mancini, who, you know, essentially a one-year rental.
Yeah, I mean, but those are the only three guys I see. Mullins, Mancini, Santander.
Paul Fry?
I guess. Sure. Maybe.
Again, the one of those guys that you're
going to get anything from him.
And again, what the organization wants to see is a prospect in return. And Mancini or Mullins are going to be your – or John Means. And John Means is, I think, a consideration.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Those are the only three guys that could get you a prospect in return. I think that maybe – I don't think that Mancini gets you a top 10 prospect. I mean, maybe a top 10 on somebody's team.
I think for any of those guys, you get one, at least one top 10 in your organization. And I think for a guy like Mullins and the summer he's having, you get two in that top 10. Mancini's interesting because there's a lot of emotion into that trade where there's no one who's going to value Mancini as much as the Orioles. So the Orioles might be expecting two top 10s, but I really don't think they'd get that. I think they'd get like a number one and a number 15, or like someone in the top 10, not a number one, like a number five right. and a number 15.
Right.
Type thing. So I think the other thing that's going to be interesting is we've got this draft on Sunday to see how Elias drafts there. If you want to look at the future and see what he's thinking, let's see if he goes after college players or if he goes after high school players. That's also an interesting way to look at it, what timeline he's trying to lay out.
Absolutely. I haven't thought of it that way.
So, but yeah, I don't know. But how much fun was it just to see a good Orioles win tonight?
Oh, to see us put some runs on the board, to see us knock some other pitchers around, to see our guys pitch extremely well. It was a lot of fun. You know, it's one of those games that I wish I could attend because, you know, you hate me at the games where we get beat up real bad. That looked like a lot of fun.
Oh, I saw so many pictures on Facebook tonight of friends at the game, and I was so jealous. Yeah, it's a great game to attend. So we gave up 5 runs, but it's the Blue Jays. It's what they do. We know the Orioles need to score 7-8 runs to win ball games, and they did that tonight. So tomorrow we host the Blue Jays again. And it's how do you say this guy's name? Ryu?
Yes.
Hyunjin Ryu. I'm sure Ryu. I totally screwed that up. But I know how to say this guy's name. Matt Harvey takes the rubber for the Orioles.
The Dark Knight.
And right when I was writing Matt Harvey off and giving up on him, I've been happy with him his last two starts.
I am the exact same way. I lowered my expectations.
Yeah.
And again, I feel like with a lot of these guys, like, you know, you just want 5 innings and 3 runs, you know, and then it's a coin toss. You send it over to your bullpen and see what, you know, guys like Tyler Wells and, Dylan Tate can do. You know, maybe Plutko comes in for 2 innings. But, you know, look, if he can give us 5 runs or 5 innings and 3 runs, I'll take it.
Yeah, I totally agree. The whole key is put your team in a position where they can win. Put it where if you're giving up 3 runs, if you hold a team to 3 runs and you lose that game, I blame your lineup.
Not absolutely. Your I'm right there with you. That's, you know, look, you got to be able to score 5-6 runs to win a game. And the Orioles, unfortunately, have not done that too many times, especially when Harvey's been on the mound. So I feel like the guys owe him one. So we'll see if that comes due tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, Cody. Well, thanks for hopping on here.
Hey, absolutely.
Tomorrow, the Orioles play again. Will there be a Birdland tonight? I'm going to say a big maybe out there. I'm not able to do it tomorrow night, but I also have a hurricane or tropical storm Elsa coming through tomorrow morning.
Ooh.
So that might suddenly free up my evening to cancel my softball games, which will put me right here for some Birdland tonight tomorrow.
But nice.
Either way, make sure you're continue to follow us on Birdland Tonight. Subscribe to the podcast. Check out I Just Like the Duck podcast. Check out Section 336 podcast. Leave ratings and reviews, 5 stars on all that stuff. Anything else I got to get out there, Cody?
No, you nailed it.
All right, guys. Well, we will talk to you again soon.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.